good. Well, good morning. There's just a date that I want to flag up to you, that's quite important. If you could go on to the next slide there, Benj. We're having Vision Sunday at the end of this month, 29th. And leading up to that, over the last few months, we've spent quite a lot of time having quite a few conversations and really seeking God about where he wants us as a church to go and what direction he wants us to go in next. And it is so important to us, isn't it, that we are in a place all the time of hearing from God where he wants us to be. Because how many of you know that being on the journey with God is an exciting place to be? And we're really excited about the future. We're excited about the now as well, because God is really stirring stuff in us and he's really doing things in us. But we also know he's got a lot more. It's great this morning, isn't it, to be in the presence of God and just to have God communicate with us and spend time with us and give us words that encourage us and build us up. And he has got so much more for us. So if you're part of Ashwood, please make that a priority to be around on that morning, because we've got a lot of things to share. A lot of you have been part of those conversations as well. But leading up to that, we're going to run a series all about values and about some of our values. And when we think about the word value, it conjures up different thoughts maybe. In our society, we'll often talk about value in terms of money or how much something is worth financially. And that is quite an important part of that word. But actually, another definition for the word value is principles or standards of behaviour or one's judgment of what is important in life. In other words, if you want to know what value somebody places on things, look at what they do, look at what they talk about, look at how they spend their money, look at how they spend their time, look at what influences them to make the decisions that they make. And that's why we want to spend a bit of time looking at some of our values as a church, because actually our values shape who we are, they shape our decisions, they shape the direction that we go in, and in the context of having a Vision Sunday, it's important that we know who we are and what our values are, because they shape us and they shape our future. And there's lots of different ways that values are played out, aren't they? As individuals, we have lots of personal values. A friend of mine this week sent me a text of a photograph of this grubby plastic cup, and he said, "Look, Dave, I'm still drinking my morning cup of tea out of this cup." And how much is it worth? Nothing. It won't be worth a thing in value. But actually, I was thinking that actually is quite valuable to me and him, because when we were teenagers, we really got into camping and stuff like that, and we started building up our camping equipment, and that was his mug. And we were just reflecting on memories and things. And so that cup that means nothing to anybody else actually means a lot to us, because it reminds us of some foundational stuff in a very strong friendship that we have. And funnily enough, I'd pulled something out of our camping stuff because our butter dish had broke. And I thought, I know, we've got a really nice one that I know Esther doesn't really like, but I can justify having it out. So I sent him a photo of that, and he went, "Oh, no way." And interestingly, last night, both of our wives also communicate with each other, and neither of them hold any of that stuff to great value. But we all have different things that are valuable and that shape us. And it could be, you know, in our families, one of the things that we value as part of our family time is having at least one meal around a table every day. And we place a lot of value on that. And we will make sure that that happens, even though everybody's doing different things. Why? Because we recognise that it's important that we stop for a moment, that we chat, that we are just together, because that's a time that we can communicate with each other, we can catch up, we can We can challenge behaviour as a family, and everybody knows what the standard is. And we'll see it. We'll see it all over, won't we? That in businesses, all throughout all walks of life, there are values, and values are important because they shape who we are. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some of our values as a church. And you'll see we've got quite a few things that we would consider to be our values. And all of those are things that shape us, that help us to be the church, the body that Jesus wants us to be. We're not going to talk about all of those because there's a lot of things in there, but we've picked out over the next few weeks a few of those that we just want to spend a little bit of time unpacking, reminding ourselves, and just allowing God to do something in us in those areas. So this morning, as you'll see from your notices, that the title this morning is Welcome. You are very welcome. And it's a privilege to be able to say that from here, that you are welcome. We are all welcome in this place. And as a church, we place a great deal of value on welcome. I hope that if you're here for the first time this morning, that you feel welcome. I hope that if you're not here for the first time this morning, that you feel welcome. We hope that in every part of our church, whether it's in the kids' work, whether it's at food bank, whether it's out when we're doing things out on the streets, whether it's in our life groups, whatever we're doing, all the different things that make up Ashwood, we hope that everybody, regardless of who they are and their background, feels welcome. Because we recognise that that's a really important value to hold. So what does that really look like? What does welcome mean? I think we can all think of times where we've not felt welcome. I know I've shared this story before, but when I was, I wasn't even a teenager, and I played for a football team, and I'd played with them for a little while, turned up at the training, and the manager took me aside one evening after training, and he said, "Look, we don't want you part of the team anymore." and so I had to leave the team. And as a, I don't know, I was probably about 10 or something. That's the last time I played football, by the way. But if you can imagine how that made me feel, because what he was actually saying is, you are not welcome. Why wasn't I welcome? Because, well, he said that I wasn't the right age, but all my mates were there. That was just a smokescreen for what he really felt. What he was saying is you're not good enough. You don't meet the standard. You're not like us, and we don't want you. You are not welcome. And that was actually quite crushing for me as a 10-year-old. So, and I think we've probably can all think of times where we've been made to feel not welcome, and we know how crushing that is. But then on the other hand, when we are made to feel welcome, that's an incredibly powerful thing. I know when I first started going out with Esther, and the first Christmas that that I spent with her family, they all gave me a present, and I wasn't expecting it, but it was a really incredible demonstration of saying, "You are welcome." You know, I wasn't even an in-law at that point. You know, I was we're still working out whether we're going to encourage him to keep hold of him. Is he a keeper, or shall we boot him out? Should we relegate him? But they said, look, you know, you're with us. You're on a special day of the year. We hold a lot of value to being together. And if you're part of being together with us, then we're going to include you with everything. You are welcome. And that was a wonderful experience to have that, because these are people I didn't know terribly well. It's important, I think, with everything, that we look at how Jesus did it, isn't it? He just did everything so perfectly because he's God. And our best tactic is to look at what he did for everything and then try and mirror it. I want to be more like Jesus. Don't get it right all the time. But I know that the more I try and mirror Jesus, the more like him I'm going to become. So let's have a look at how Jesus demonstrated welcome and what his heart was for welcome. Well, first of all, it's important to know that Jesus reveals God's welcoming heart. When Jesus came in a body, when he was around 2,000 years ago, he came to reveal the welcoming heart of God. Let's have a little look at a few examples very quickly. First of all, Jesus welcomed crowds. He welcomed crowds of people. Matthew 5. Come up on the screen there for us. When he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. This was the introduction to the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, a great big bit of teaching. And so here we've got a whole bunch of people who turn up to Jesus. He goes up a mountain and he sat down. Why did he sit down? Did he sit down because he hoped he wouldn't be noticed? Did he sit down and go, oh my goodness me, leave me alone, oh, look, I'm sitting down? No, in the culture of that day, when somebody sat down in that context, it was because they had authority to teach. So when they sat down, there was an expectation from the people that, here we are, look, we're not going to be disappointed. He sat down, we're going to listen to what he's saying. But what is so clear is that Jesus wanted to meet the needs of the people. He saw what the people needed and he welcomed them. He gathered them together and he met the need. He welcomed them. Matthew 14, if you've got your Bibles, just flick over into Matthew 14. And here we've got the feeding of the 5,000 from verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, John the Baptist had just been beheaded. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, look, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And if we think about the context of that, of that story for a moment, Jesus has just had some really bad news. And it's really bad family news. This was a family member, actually. And it was a horrific bit of news. Jesus, like the rest of us, wanted to withdraw to a private place. He wanted to gather his thoughts. I love Jesus. And I love how the New Testament makes it so clear how like us he was prepared to come. And how like us he actually is. Because this was a man who was grieving. And I think sometimes we miss that in this passage, that he was grieving and he wanted some time, as we would naturally want ourselves. However, the crowd sought him out. What does that say about Jesus as a person? It says that the crowds knew that he accepted them. Here was somebody who they wanted to be with because he welcomed them. Here was somebody that they knew that they would feel accepted and loved. And regardless of respecting his privacy, they sought him out because he made them feel so welcome and he met their needs. Jesus has compassion on them when he sees them. Despite how he felt, despite what he was going through, he had compassion on the people. And because he had that compassion and that love, He met the need. We can see, and I can see, a lot of myself in the disciples and how they reacted. I can imagine that when they saw the crowds coming up, they were like, right, okay. Well, perhaps we'll go along with it for a bit because Jesus seems like he's all right with this, but you know, we're not. So after a while, they sort of have a quiet word with him and they say, look, let's just get rid of them. Just for a bit, Jesus. Just for a bit. Try and justify it with some well-meaning. Well, they're probably hungry. Jesus sees an opportunity to teach them a thing or two as well, doesn't he? He says, look, they do need feeding, you're right, and I want you to do it. And that's a whole load of other things that we can think about. But the point is this, welcome, being a welcoming person and welcoming isn't always convenient. It isn't always convenient when we wholeheartedly accept people, when we wholeheartedly embrace people, when we wholeheartedly meet the needs. It's costly and it's not always convenient. Jesus just showed us the extent of what that is like and how that can be. Secondly, he welcomed individuals. Matthew 8, we just have a little account from a man with leprosy. And it says this right at the start of Matthew 8. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. There's a pattern here, isn't there? Large crowds followed Jesus. They wanted to be with him. I would love for people to want to follow me around. It'd probably get a bit annoying after a while, but it says something about Jesus, doesn't it? How much he made the people feel loved, cared for, and accepted. But also they knew he would meet a need. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Again, if we think about the wider context of this, somebody who had leprosy was considered under the law as being unclean, which meant that they had an awful lot of restrictions on who they could spend time with and where they could be. They weren't really accepted in public places, and they certainly weren't accepted in places of worship, because if they touched anybody else, then that made them unclean for a period of time. And they would then have restrictions. So it was a huge stigma to have leprosy because it not only isolated them, but it isolated them from so much that they could do and that they could be. So here we've got Jesus, who's a really popular figure by now. Here's somebody who everybody wants to be with. And then we've got this man with leprosy. And if I were him at that time, and I'm speculating a little bit here, but I would be thinking, do you know, here is a superstar. You know, here's somebody who everybody wants to be with. But what is the implication of me getting near him? Well, for a start, the crowds that are around him are really not going to like it. But what if I have physical contact with him? He's not going to want that because that's going to isolate him from his people. But he thinks, do you know what? Here is somebody who welcomes everybody. Here is somebody who might accept me. Here is somebody who might be willing to meet my need. How many of you know that sometimes when somebody touches you, it changes how you feel? You know, I know I didn't have a very good school experience, but on a few occasions, if a teacher just said, brilliant, well done, that changed how I felt. That changed my posture. That changed my confidence. You know, and just for Jesus to come up and say, yeah, I'm willing. You know, he went beyond this man's expectation. Not only did he meet his need, but he said, look, I'm willing to identify with you. But more than that, I want to impart something to you that is going to change your life completely. Not just physically, not just so you're going to become clean and going to get back to a normal life, but actually I'm going to do something inside you that is going to change how you see yourself, how you feel, what your confidence levels are, what your faith levels are. Because actually I see in you an outcast, somebody whose society is completely rejected. I see somebody that I love and that I value. He welcomed individuals. Luke 7, if you want to flick over into Luke 7, verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learnt that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." I love this story because Jesus just really does an in-your-face Mr. Pharisee, doesn't he? He really does. And again, if you can kind of try and put yourself in that place in the day. Here we've got a Pharisee who recognizes the importance of Jesus and thinks, you know, I want to get in there. You know, I want to make sure that, and actually he would probably want to come to my house, if, give him an opportunity to congratulate me a little bit on all my good works and all of that. Because that's part of how they operated. You know, they were a lot about the works and about doing. And all of a sudden, in this sort of crowded place, and I don't know who let her in. Clearly, the Pharisee hadn't noticed. You know, he was just too busy having his sort of glamorous little soiree, and you know, all the bigwigs were there. And all of a sudden, he's thinking, "Hang on a minute, who's let old Babs in there? You know, how she got in?" And she has stood right behind the honoured guest of his due, and she is crying all over him. She's wiping her hair on him. She's pouring perfume on him. And he's thinking, "Hang on a minute. Oh, she's that one with the reputation. In fact, I know all about that one. I don't know how Jesus hasn't even heard of her on the gossip down out in town. But if he was anybody, he would know what she's like and he just would not stand for it." Jesus just does an incredible thing. He basically says, "Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I do know this one. I know all about her. Well done, love. Come on in." You know, that's his attitude. You know, that's how much he welcomed people. He saw that this was somebody who was a mess, whose life was a mess. And he saw her heart. He saw what she was doing and he accepted her. He loved her. He valued her. He welcomed her. Did he welcome her sinful life? We can hazard a guess to some of the things that she had got herself into. Did Jesus welcome that? No, he didn't. Did he stand for sin? Did he accept sin? No, he didn't. He never did. Do you know, he always challenged sin. He always challenged anything that was not of God. But do you know what? What he did first was he accepted and he welcomed and he loved. And when we get into that place with Jesus, and when Jesus says to us, "Do you know, what you did then was wrong, or that you're involved with is not right, or that your sinful life needs to change." Do you know what? When we're in that place with Jesus, we're in a place to say, "Yeah, I know. I know." And Jesus is in a place to say, "Look, I'm going to help you. I'm going to set you free. I'm the truth. I came to reveal the Father, and I will help you change." He didn't stand on mountainsides Or in boats, he did that, didn't he? Stood on a boat because there wasn't enough room for him to stand on the shore because the crowds were so big. He didn't stand on there shouting at them, telling them all about their sins. They already knew about that. They were drawn to him because he accepted them for who they were. He accepted the mess that they were in. And in that context of welcome, he was able to address and to challenge all the stuff that was wrong. And it was powerful, and it is powerful. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God loved the whole world. Love was such a motivation. And if you read the New Testament, love is a motivation in so many different levels. You know, we're told that if we're not motivated by love, it's just a noise. It's just a banging drum. But because Jesus loved the whole world. Now just think about that for a moment. He discriminated against no one. He loved the whole world. He was motivated by love, and because of his welcoming heart, he was able to reveal truth and set people free from the positions that they were in. Let's just consider a couple of other verses I want us to have a quick think about before we wrap up. In John 1, verse 17, says this: out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given out. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Before Jesus came, people didn't know God. Adam and Eve did, but then they stuffed it up and the relationship was spoiled. But people didn't know God. God, through Moses, had provided the law, which enabled people to know about God and to know about who he is and about how we should be, but we're never going to achieve because we're imperfect. Jesus came to make God the Father known. I love that. I love the fact that God was thinking about me. He said, look, I really want Dave to know me, but the only way I can do that is if I send Jesus. God had every one of us in mind. He wants to be known. He wants to be accessible, and that is true today as it was in any other moment in history. God wants to be known. If we go into 1 John 4, verse 10, it says this: this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And there's just a few principles I just want to quickly rattle through. Firstly, without Jesus, we would never know God. We could not possibly be in relationship with the Father God if it wasn't for Jesus. Secondly, it is the Father's heart to be revealed and to be made known. First, he loved us first, regardless of our state. I had a privilege a few years ago of being neighbours with one of the Battelle sites. And every morning, they have a devotional. And sometimes they would invite me to come and do the devotional for them. And I have to say, it was one of the most humbling things that I've done, because I used to invite myself for breakfast. I don't know if that was part of it, but I'd turn up anyway because I knew what time they had breakfast. And I'd have breakfast with them. I tell you what, they're the roughest people I've ever had meals with. You know, they look rough. Is anybody here from Batel? but they do. You know, and it was first thing in the morning as well, so that probably didn't help. They physically looked rough because they had had a hard life. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I said, you know, they reached, some of those guys I know reached below rock bottom. But get them talking about Jesus. Get them talking about what Jesus has done for them. You know, these are the people, if you really want to know how God changes lives, talk to somebody who really knows that their life is in a mess. Sometimes we don't know that our life is in as big a mess as it is. Talking to guys like that can sometimes help. But because they knew the state that they were in and the state that they're now in, when you get them in a worship morning, half of them can't sing in tune, but it is the most beautiful sound you can ever hear because they mean it. You know, they mean the worship that they're in. Jesus loves us regardless of where we are at in the first place. But did you know we are also made in the image of God? I don't know if you've ever stopped to really think about that. If Jesus were human, would he look like me? Yes, because Jesus was human and he was in a body. But actually, when we're made in his image, we are like God. God designed us to be a reflection of him. So when we start to love one another and to love each other, something actually happens inside us that causes some kind of completion. We become more complete as God's children when we start to love each other because we're reflecting more of his image. Does that make sense? Yeah? It's powerful stuff. And when that happens, when we become more complete children of God, then we are making the Father known to those around us. So when we welcome each other, when we welcome the people around us, we are allowing the Spirit of God to do a work in us that brings us to a more complete being, but also has that powerful effect of making God known. So what is our response this morning? Let me just very quickly, last passage, Matthew 25. You'll know it is the sheep and the goats passage. But this is there's just a very powerful thing. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in the heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. We are called to be welcomers. And when we welcome people, we are fulfilling what God wants us to fulfill on this earth. Because when we love those around us, when we invest the time, when we draw people in and accept people, we're actually accepting Jesus. We're accepting God. So as a church, we value welcome. We really value welcome. And it is so important that we have a culture of welcome. And I want to say to you, whatever your background, you are welcome. Whatever your past, you are welcome. Whatever your history, you are welcome. Whatever your preferences, you are welcome. Whatever you look like, you're welcome. Sorry if you look a bit like me, but I'm welcome too. If you disagree with me, you are welcome. If you're not sure about this God thing, you are welcome. You are welcome. And in fact, that doesn't need to challenge us or concern us in terms of compromising the gospel, because actually the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is about welcome and acceptance and love. Don't get me wrong. Jesus came to reveal the Father and he came to reveal truth. You know, and we are also in a place where Jesus will reveal truth and he will correct us. He will show us where we're wrong. He'll show us where the choices that we make are not good ones and are not part of his plan. But you know what? When I need correction, when I need to be told that I'm wrong, when I've made a mistake, when I've blown it, I would rather be corrected in the family, in this family, where I know that I'm welcomed and that I'm accepted. I want to be loved by people who love me with the love that Jesus has put in their hearts. It's powerful stuff. It is powerful stuff. We, I have to say, have a good reputation of welcome. We are so encouraged when people visit us and say, I was made to feel really welcome. We have a great welcome team. It's a good opportunity to say that the guys who are on the door, the guys who, if you're on our welcome team, thank you. You are awesome. You do a fantastic job. Actually, you're on the welcome team because you're always on the welcome team. And that's the culture that we want to have. We want us all to be welcomers. We want us all to accept and in love and embrace each other. Because when we do that, there's a completeness that happens that allows the Spirit of God to move in very, very powerful ways. Being a good welcomer is not just about words. Saying you're welcome is important, but it means more. It means more. Most of you will know we're working behind the scenes on trying to do something about the physical structure that we call home. It's important to us that we have a place that people feel welcome. And we recognize there's limitations with this, so we're prepared to invest in something that will be part of making people feel welcome. And I just wonder if we could stand for a moment and just allow the Spirit of God to take what I've prattled on about this morning and to take hold of the truths of Him. I want to be more like Jesus this morning, do you? I want to take hold of some of His character this morning. And I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be somebody who a stranger in the street or a guest who comes into our doors or the lady on the checkout in Tesco. I don't normally do the shopping. But I want them to feel loved and accepted by me for who they are, even if I don't know who they are. I don't want to just go through the motions of that because I know it's the right thing to do, though that's a good starting point. I want Jesus to do something in my heart and in my life and in my spirit that makes me more like Him, that makes me prepared to do the inconvenient, to do the challenging and to do the hard stuff, that makes me want to touch the leper and disrupt my life and my day and my routine because somebody needs a need met and needs to be welcomed. It's powerful stuff, guys. It's really powerful, but it's exciting. But I just want to give an opportunity this morning to anyone here this morning who's thought, you know, actually, I'm that person that's needed to be accepted, that's needed to be welcomed. And actually, I recognize that there's that little bit more that I need to do, because it's one thing to be welcome, and you are, believe me, you are so welcome. But this is an opportunity for Jesus to welcome one or two or some into relationship with Him this morning. What a great welcome if you walk away from this meeting this morning in relationship with Jesus, either for the first time. Matt was talking earlier about coming back. You are welcome back. Wouldn't it be a great morning for you to know that Jesus has said, oh, hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. And if this is a word for you this morning, that you need to align your life with Jesus this morning, maybe for the first time, or maybe that you need to come back, then I want you to pray this with me. Jesus, I thank you that you accept me for who I am. I thank you that it doesn't matter what state I'm in at this moment in time. You love me and you are here to make the Father known. And I just want to declare that I'm sorry for the way that I am and that I want to change. And I want to be in relationship with the Father. So Jesus, I accept you. I accept what you did for me. And I accept you as Lord of my life. Amen. Just in the last moment or two, let's just, in our hearts, just do some business with God if we need to. But if you prayed that prayer, if that is you this morning, it is really important that you don't just walk away and slip away this morning. You need to tell somebody what God has done for you this morning. We have a fantastic prayer team who are going to be over there. In fact, if you guys could wander over there now, that would be great. And they would love to pray with you some more. If you have a need for prayer for anything this morning, whether it's things that God has spoken to you about during the course of this meeting, or you have other needs, these guys are ready to welcome you and to pray with you and stand with you. But let's not miss and lose anything that God is doing or saying to us this morning. Amen.